Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I want to get right into it today. Last week, you were talking with Frank Niemeyer down in Carlsbad at Carlsbad Radio, and we didn't know the results of the lawsuit about vote by mail. So please give us the results of that lawsuit.
Sure, Derek. We had a great conversation with Frank Niemeyer. He's just one of the steadfast conservative radio hosts in the entire state. But we were talking about what it means to vote by mail. Now, people get really confused because the terms are intended to be confusing. There is vote by mail, VBM. That's a system that is being pushed by George Soros. It is not compliant with New Mexico law, and in fact is not compliant with many laws across the country. But George Soros and his Democrat colleagues are really pushing it hard. So that's one side, VBM, vote by mail. Then the other side is absentee by mail. They're completely different. They sound like they might be the same, but absentee by mail voting is legal in New Mexico, and in fact, it's practiced frequently. That's the difference between the two. The one you have to request the ballot. The other one is just sent blanket to every single person who is registered. Now, you know yourself, Derek, that there are many counties that do not purge the voter rolls, and so people who've died that are still on the voting rolls, they'll still get a ballot. People who've moved out of state and still on the voter rolls, they're going to be a ballot delivered to their old address. And that winds up with tens of thousands of ballots just floating out there, and there is literally no way to stop the fraud. In the end, the justices felt like that the election had to be concerned about the safety and health of the voters and the workers. We agreed with that in our suit, and in fact, it was one of the questions that was asked to our attorney. Do the Republicans think there is no risk? And he said, absolutely not. He said, the chairman of the state Republican Party had argued that, yes, there was concern about the health and safety, but we had to follow the law. And that's what the court said. They specifically pointed out that other branches have failed to act. That does not give the Supreme Court the right to create law. The court can only interpret the law. You know, Derek, one of the interviews I had last week, the interviewer said, well, that's so refreshing. And it was. It wasn't triumphant for us as Republicans. It wasn't high fives. It was like, okay, the system is supposed to work like that, and it did, and it's refreshing. And so the Democrats have to decide if they want to call a special session in order to pass a law which says that the vote by mail is legal in New Mexico. I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't think so. The governor has to call that special session, and she has indicated no desire to do that. So I think that the Supreme Court has said we're going to go ahead, and there are a minimum number of places by law that have to be opened up for in-person voting, but it's okay if the Secretary of State urges everyone to vote absentee. That'll all be legal. But that was a decision. It stung the Democrats really hard, and so at one point, the governor's top spokesperson, Tripp Stilnecki, came out and made the comment that Republicans basically were just a death cult. Well, that was extremely offensive because we had argued for safety all the way through. It is just that the Democrats are angry that we are pushing back and fighting back for common sense rules, rules that follow the law, and we're asking significant questions.
I want to get your reaction to this. I have a press release from April 14th from the Democratic Party of New Mexico. Marge Ellison, and I'll quote here, "The Democratic Party of New Mexico remains concerned about how in-person voting could threaten the health and safety of many New Mexicans. We will continue to do everything possible to help our fellow New Mexicans make their voices heard, including encouraging voters to fill out their absentee ballot applications. We regret that the GOP's efforts to suppress the vote have made it harder to vote and put poll workers at risk, but we will not give up this fight." Your reaction to her comments?
Well, her comments that we're trying to suppress the vote are completely inaccurate. All we're saying is that there is law and you're supposed to follow the law. And her complaint is frankly not with the Republican Party of New Mexico. Her complaint is with the Supreme Court of New Mexico. It's got four Democrats, one Republican, and so she needs to take her differences up with them. The Supreme Court is not trying to suppress the vote. They're simply interpreting the law. We were simply pointing out what the law is, and Marge, again, is her kind of vicious text indicates how hard this decision hit them. George Soros is trying to get these vote-by-mail process is done in almost every state. But generally, it was looked at that New Mexico would be a pretty easy case, that the Democrats would bring their case before the court, that they'd win in court, that the Republicans would not put up a fight. And when that win was granted, then there would be a federal judge somewhere in the country that would say, New Mexico can't be the only one. We have to do all states the same, and would have, by some consent decree or some judicial maneuver, made this case in New Mexico become the law of the land. So the Trump administration was extremely involved in this. They didn't help create the arguments, but they were supportive, and they kept explaining to us that New Mexico is at the tip of the spear. If you all lose in New Mexico, lose this fight, then probably it's going to become the law of the land. If that's the case, then it would really open the door not to more legal voting, not to more ethical voting, but to contest between the two parties who can knock the most doors, who can talk people into giving their ballots up, who can affect the system that way. You know, there was another court case last week also. You recall that the governor on Saturday of last week put out the executive order that churches can't gather, and she even limited the number of people in the church gathering to five. Well, many of the churches wanted to have Easter Sunday services with people in their cars, and they would come into a parking lot, have sound systems that would be broadcasting through the parking lot. They'd also be on some sort of radio station where people could sit in their cars and listen to the service. And so the decision that our governor made the day before Easter was offensive. If she had done it on Friday, we could have asked the courts. The courts could have made a decision, but instead on that Saturday made it very difficult to appeal her decision for the next morning, Easter Sunday morning. And so one church, Legacy Church in Albuquerque, actually did file suit at midnight on Saturday night. And of course, they couldn't get a decision, but that case was heard this last week also. And Legacy Church was saying that they needed about 40 people to do the production. They got sound, they got lights, they got video, they got the technology, they got connecting to the radio station. So all in all, they said that 40 people were needed, and the judge says no, the order says you can only gather with five. Now, that is a decision that I think is unfortunate. I was walking into the grocery store in Hobbs last week, and there's a sign on the door that says 204 people are allowed in the facility and no more. Well, 204 in a facility that is smaller than the Legacy Church, that is a huge church. I've been there many times. It's scattered over three or four football fields, in contrast to the grocery store, which you all know the size of grocery stores, probably got 20 aisles on it, and the food down those aisles, far smaller than the church, but they can put 204 people in the grocery store, but only five people in a church. That is what is causing people to be angry. In our third segment, we're going to talk about that today. Stay tuned, because in the second segment coming up, we have just a great guy. Tommy Hicks is one of the co-chairs of the Republican National Committee, so the RNC, and he's going to be on the phone with us. So stay tuned. We've got a lot of information coming your direction on Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. We are talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And as promised, Steve, you have a guest on the phone.
We've got Tommy Hicks. He is the co-chair of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and just a stand-up guy. He's a Texan, proudly from Texas, but he also interacts on a regular basis with the Trump family. He knows them probably better than any of us. But Tommy, welcome to the program, and thanks for being here. Tell the listeners just a little bit about your background.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be on your show. I am from Texas, and I'm very proud to be from Texas. But I moved my family up to Washington, D.C. about a year and a half ago. And I think right now our country is at a turning point. And I think it's extremely important that we win this election coming up in November. It was really important that we won in 2016 to put Donald Trump in as president of the United States. And he's done such a great job. So we've got to do this again in 2020. And that's why I'm in Washington now.
Tell me a little bit about what your day, average day, looks like.
Well, and by the way, I'm doing this because I want my kids to grow up in the same great republic that I grew up in. And if we don't win in November, you're not going to recognize our country. The Democrats have all embraced these big government socialist ideals. Bernie Sanders endorsed Joe Biden the other day, but he should really be giving himself a pat on the back because Joe Biden embraced every single idea that Bernie had that he ran on for the Democrat nomination. But I'm really proud of our team. So we launched into a virtual campaign in a 24-hour period on March 13th. It took Joe Biden 4 days to set up a basement in this podium. But since then, we've added close to 400,000 new volunteers. We've made over 15 million phone calls to reach out to voters. And the enthusiasm around the country to reelect this president is something that I've never seen before. And you're seeing it right now in the grassroots movement. We're growing so fast. And I think you're going to see us continue to build this gap between our grassroots movement and what Joe Biden and the Democrats can build. So we talked to people around the country. We're raising money. We need the resources to reelect the president. We're talking to people out in the field, talking to our volunteers. And, you know, all of this is done virtually right now. And eventually, when it's safe to get back on the road, we will be doing that. But we're all doing our part to set up the foundation to win this very important election. We just saw a state representative in Georgia, Vernon Jones, left and endorsed Trump. He said, and I'll quote him, "I'm not leaving the Democrat Party. They left me." You saw that with Jeff Van Drew in New Jersey. He switched over to the Republican Party, and he's backing President Trump. President Trump is doing more to, and I'll use the cliche, make America great again than any president we've ever had. And you're seeing the enthusiasm as a direct result of the work that he's done and the policies he's put into place, whether it's lowering taxes, cutting regulations, redoing trade deals that didn't make sense for the American people, and replacing them with deals that actually do make sense for the American people. He's accomplished a lot for the American people, and it's been great to watch. And he will rebuild this economy when it's safe for us to get back to work.
You know, you bring up a very good point about people leaving the Democrat Party. Beginning the kind of the first of 2019, January and February, Hispanic Democrats began to come up to me and show me their paychecks and say, "Look, my pay is great, but also my taxes are less." Is that tax thing that Trump kept talking about? And I said, it absolutely is. And so that was a big deal. But we've got Hispanics who are leaving the Democrat Party in New Mexico, not only becoming Republicans, but they're running for office as Republicans. I can point to several. One of my favorites is a county commissioner, a sitting Democrat county commissioner. She never had Republican opposition because she was, number one, pretty good, but also in an area that Republicans didn't have much of a chance. She and I were good friends when I was in Congress. I would turn to her when I had a question for her area, and we communicated. Beginning last year, she started telling me that she just didn't believe she could stay in her party. Then she called one day and said, "I've had it. I cannot stay in good conscience any longer." She said, "I went down and re-registered as a Republican today, and I'm going to run as county commissioner." She then knew that we were trying to field a candidate to run for state representative in that same area. And in a magnificent show of courage, she dropped out of the commission race in order to sign up and run as a Republican state representative candidate in a very tough district. That's the kind of Democrats that we have coming across. Those with courage, those that have really come to see that their party is no longer for America. It is for something that is vastly different. Now, you're from Texas, and your governor just announced, I think it was on Friday, his plans to reopen Texas. What do you think about his plans, and what stands out about his plans?
I don't know the particulars about Texas, believe it or not, because I'm here in Washington, D.C., but I am, as mentioned earlier, proud to be a Texan and so proud of the leadership that the governor and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick as well have displayed through this crisis. And Texas has not been hit as hard as New York or some other states. So I think it is probably safer to get back to work. But I think people need to continue to use common sense. If you have underlying condition, if you're over a certain age, you probably should be very, very careful. But I'm proud of Texas getting back to work, and I'm not surprised that Texas is leading the way.
By contrast, Texas is looking to open. New Mexico has a less dense population and fewer per capita cases of the COVID-19. But our governor is increasing restrictions instead of loosening up. Our economy is suffering badly, number one, because of the oil price that has dropped so much, and that's based mostly on Saudi Arabia and Russia and Mexico overproducing. They've got a squabble going on about market share. So that was the greatest hit to us. But also, when you freeze small businesses, that's about 60% of New Mexico's economy. And then you add on top of that the tourism that is not happening. Those three elements, just the oil and gas industry alone, is 40% of New Mexico state, the state budget of New Mexico. And then you add on small business, the lack of gross receipts, lack of taxation, lack of earnings, and then you throw in the tourism industry. You have at least a $2 billion shortfall that is looking at us here in New Mexico. That's according to the most prominent Democrat on the Finance Committee. And so $2 billion out of $7 billion is a huge hit. And so watching the governor of Texas reopen has caused a lot of people in New Mexico to start protesting. Why are we not reopening? Because we have fewer per capita cases maybe than many other states that are setting up plans to open. Tommy, if you were to look at the family and you had one favorite story of the family, any member of the family, what would that be?
The first time I met the president, actually, this is a good story, was President's Day weekend of 2002. And Don Trump Jr. was a good friend of mine. I was living in New York, starting my career as an investment banker. And we went down to Palm Beach for President's Day weekend and sat down with a man who is now the president of the United States. My family was in the baseball business at the time, and the president absolutely schooled me on every single statistic of every single player in Major League Baseball. So I tried to switch to college football because I'm from Texas and I think I know more about that. And he just schooled me in that. And then I started talking about these businesses that I've been studying for months and months. And he knew every business and every CEO. So I think we all know people who are a mile wide and an inch deep, but the president's a mile wide and a mile deep. And it's the amount of knowledge and the amount of data that he consumes is something you've never seen before. And then on top of that, he cares so much about people. He treats everybody just like you would want to be treated. I just learned a lot from him that weekend on how to treat people, how to think of people, and just I was so impressed with his knowledge.
Folks, we've been joined today by Tommy Hicks, the co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. As you can tell, just one of the decent human beings in politics, a decent guy supporting a wonderful family and a dynamic leader in President Donald Trump. Thanks again, Tommy, for taking your time with us on this radio program today, and just keep you and your family and especially those three girls safe.
Well, thanks, Steve. You guys stay healthy as well. I appreciate you having me on.
Steve Pierce and I will return in just a moment. I hope you'll stay tuned to Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low.
And our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
But there's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are a hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life.
And certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need to be honest about the American people.
with the American people about the fact that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right, right, because this is New York, and you're in elevators and trains with everybody all the time.
That audio clip that you just heard are Democrat leaders. Nancy Pelosi is saying, come down to Chinatown. Bernie Sanders is saying, no, he wouldn't shut the country down. These are in the early days of the COVID-19 crisis when we're trying to figure our way out. The mayor of New York, all were ridiculing Trump. And I play that clip today, Derek, because right now I can see that Congress is already angling towards another investigation. They're going to try to impeach the president because they're saying, what did he know and when did he know it? That's always a sign that the political leaders are going to go after far more than just asking questions. And so I think that the Democrat leaders must be held accountable for the words. These were all when they were saying Trump was acting too fast, that he shut down the travel to China. And he shouldn't have, that they felt comfortable going down to Chinatown. Those were the words of your Democrat leaders of the country. And for them now to be saying that they're going to impeach him again, this is what's holding the country back. These people who are not loyal to the country, they're after their own political agenda. They're after their own idea about how to get rid of this president. And shame on them. We had a press conference last week where we brought 8 businesses in, and those 8 businesses talked about the difficulty they as small business owners are facing because they've been shut down. So we had people who just do the same thing that gets done in the major box stores, but this Governor Grisham, has decided that she will leave the big boxes open and close small, locally owned businesses. Well, that is just taking the heartbeat out of the state, because small businesses are the main source of employment in this entire state. More than 50% of the small businesses in New Mexico are owned by women. Over 25% are owned by Hispanics. So the two groups that you'd think they would be paying the most attention to, they're actually doing destruction to, because the small businesses, many of them are not going to survive. They're not going to be able to reopen. And we've asked the question publicly, why does the governor side with the out-of-state corporate giants and side against New Mexico small businesses? You know, the small mom and pops, the everyday man and woman who run small businesses in New Mexico. And here the governor is trying to do away with the small local owned businesses. Why does she do that? She won't give us an answer. Again, we spoke in that first segment. Their response was, well, the Republicans are just a death cult. They love businesses so much. No, we just expect fairness. If you're going to open a big box store, you're going to congest a lot more people in the big box store than you would put in a small business. Many of the small businesses, you get 3 or 4 people, that's going to be a pretty heavy crowd. Again, you've got hundreds in these big box stores at any one point. They're sitting there counting them in and counting them out. 2 people leave, 2 people go in, but they've reached a maximum congestion, and it is far more than what a small business would have. And so we're going to continue speaking up for the small guy, the man and woman that makes this state work, because I think that the future of New Mexico depends on that. Albuquerque TV had a story last week. They were sitting outside of Lowe's. And again, I don't have anything against Lowe's or Lowe's being open. I just think that we should have equal opportunity for our local businesses. But they were sitting outside of Lowe's, and people were carrying out by the box loads seeds and trees and fertilizer and soil mixer, everything to go out and do their spring gardening. They had a local nursery owner who was saying, this is our time of year. We pay for the whole year during this one springtime planting season. And he said, we're shut down and they're allowed to come over here and buy. He said, not only are they allowed, the government tells them they have to come here to buy. They can't come to me to buy. He was trying to do things online, and even the state police showed up and shut him down. And then he broke into tears. This is what the governor is doing to people in New Mexico, and it makes no sense at all. We're going to continue asking on behalf of the small business owner, when are you going to treat fairly the businesses who live and work here? As we mentioned in the last segment, there couldn't be 3 more punitive areas for the governor to be focused on. Oil and gas is beyond her control, but then you have small businesses that she is targeting, and then also you have the tourism industry, which is shut down because travel is shut down. The 3 of those combined together are going to be a devastating effect to New Mexico's state budget, and we need to be recalculating right now. The governor has said she's not going to do anything. She's not going to call a special session to where they can work that budget over, stop the spending before it starts. So that I don't understand.
Hopefully soon we will be coming back to a normal economy in this country, and we will have to, as citizens, decide who we want to lead us back to the booming economy we had before this pandemic hit. Here's Joe Biden on CNN trying to answer questions about the virus. You decide if this is the man you want leading us back to prosperity.
Kinds of things that have to be done. There's a during World War II, where Roosevelt came up with a thing was totally different than the World War II. He had the War Production Board.
There are many questions out there, but it comes down to this. That's the man that Democrats have nominated and are going to nominate for president of the United States, and the Democrat Party is going to come behind him. You just heard the clip. This is not an exceptional clip. This is not one day over and over again. Joe Biden, who has had a long and distinguished career, is really struggling to keep the issues squarely in front of him. Compare that to President Trump, who can discuss in an hour and a half question and answer sessions with the press intimately what he's doing, and he understands every aspect of it. Which of those two people do you want to lead you?
Thank you, Steve. And if you'd like to keep in touch with what's going on at the Republican Party, you can go to the website at www.gopnm.org. You can get the latest news, upcoming events, information about elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the party and its mission. You can listen to previous versions of this program. You may want to check out the party's Facebook page or the Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. And a reminder that the Republican Party is always looking for volunteers to help with their mission to win New Mexico for President Trump and to turn the roundhouse red. You can reach the party over the phone at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you here again next week on Inside New Mexico.